All right, everybody, if I can get everybody's attention, listen, we're going to get started. So the first thing is we're kind of reenacting, hopefully everybody can hear me. We're reenacting some of the way it probably would have been very similar in the early church. And so the woman of the house will light the candles and speak a blessing. So that's what my pretty wife is over here doing right now. So if y'all can just look this way for a moment. All right. So let's open with prayer while she gets situated. But Lord, we thank you for this time tonight. We thank you, Lord, for as we celebrate this time of Passover, this illustrated sermon of the Lord's Last Supper. This is what Jesus was doing with the disciples and all those that were present at the Last Supper. And in that, he gave us Holy Communion. And Lord, as we go through this tonight, I thank you, Lord, for your blessing on it and that it'll be powerful. And everything accomplished in and through this time that you will be done for those that are present, but also those that are going to be watching this either live or maybe watching it later. Lord, the importance, help us to understand the importance of understanding the Hebrew roots of the faith, that it brings a depth of understanding. It makes the Word of God come alive. It is significant for us today. But Lord, we thank you for your blessing on this time and that your presence and power is here. In Jesus' name we pray. And so the blessing is, it's called the Shehekiana. Blessed are you, Lord of God, King of the universe, who has kept and sustained us and brought us unto this time. I'm here thankful. I've been through some stuff over this last year, but we've made it through. We're here today. So God has kept us. Amen. Okay, so as we get started tonight, there's just a couple things up front. I need to find, oh, here it is. Okay. Just a moment here. All right. So beforehand, it's very important that there's a removing of the yeast. How many are familiar with this? We went through a deep purge in our house, removing the yeast and getting rid of that. But that was one of the main things that needs to happen at the beginning, right before Passover. And so in the Hebrew homes, they'll go through, and it's customary to take like some kind of a candle and go room by room. And, of course, the house has already been cleansed from yeast, okay? So there'll be a little bit left here and there. But you go through with the candle, and you're looking for yeast, and you find it. And when you do, it's taking this feather and sweeping it onto the spoon, okay? A wooden spoon. And I'm telling you, this goes on all the time, if you've ever seen it. And then dumping it into a bag. And after it's done, taking the bag outside and burning it. And so it's a community-wide thing. But why is that significant? All of this is of great significance because we need, number one, the light of God's word to help us understand, because yeast speaks of sin, okay? So we need the light of God's word to show us the sin in our lives and in our homes, amen? And then the feather represents the Holy Spirit who helps us. I mean, knows the Holy Spirit, he's not the remedy for sin, but he's the one that helps us know what sin is and be convicted of it as well. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to take it to Jesus. And the wooden spoon speaks of the cross. We always bring our sin to the cross. And then it goes into the tomb, so to speak, into the bag where it's dead, buried with Christ. And then it's taken out and burned. So, again, God's Word and His Holy Spirit help us to deal with the sin in our lives. Amen. And so this is the Passover is the very first of the Feast of the Lord. And so there is a law of first reference, and I believe that it is of great significance for all of us as we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. So as we go through this, let me just show you a couple things up front. The early church, even though a lot of people don't know this, the early church would have been would be considered Jewish or very Hebrew in the culture. For example, the Apostle Paul, he would have taught them about things like Passover. There wasn't even such thing as Easter or anything back then at all. It's not in the Bible. But that was added by Roman Catholics later. But listen, this is what he said to the Corinthians. And this was, again, a Gentile church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough?" And he's talking about Passover, right? That you got to purge the yeast out. A little bit of leaven, a little bit of yeast will work its way through the whole dough. He said, "Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For look at this, Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore," he said, "let's celebrate the feast." He's talking about Passover here. "But not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread." And he's talking about the matzah of sincerity and truth. And so the early church would have been very Hebrew in the culture, okay? So tonight, we're going to look at a couple things. So first off is the purging of the yeast, and then the second is the four cups of Passover, okay? So I have them here, and we'll go through them together. All right, so this, where we get the four cups is Exodus 6, verse 6. And this speaks of what Jesus did for us. It says, "Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord and I will bring you out." Now, listen to me. This is so important. When you read the Exodus story, understand that Pharaoh is a picture and type of Satan. The taskmasters are a picture and type of the demonic, the oppression of the enemy that keeps people in bondage to sin. Egypt is a picture and type of the world. And God's people, his elect, were brought out, and it wasn't just the Hebrew, there was also others that came with them. There was a mixed multitude. They came out of Egypt, out of the world, out from under the power of Satan, Pharaoh, by what? The blood of the Lamb. And then they were baptized through the Red Sea in water, and they were baptized in the cloud. That speaks of the Holy Spirit. And then they ended up having an encounter with God at Sinai. So how many knows that's a picture and type of our salvation? We've been brought out of the world and out of Satan's dominion by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And so number one, he said, "I will bring you out." That's the first cup. It's the cup called the Kiddush. In the second cup, he says this, "And I will deliver you." Okay, the Makot. How many have been delivered from something? Since you've been saved, you have been delivered from something. Amen, me too. And then the third cup is called Gwela, and it means redemption, and that's the communion cup. This is the cup that Jesus gave us at the Passover meal. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me till I come." And so this was given out of Passover, the third cup. He said, "Now I'm doing a new thing, the blood of the new covenant, and I give you now the communion table." By doing this, as often as you desire, you're basically celebrating Passover throughout the year, if you will. And then finally, the fourth cup is called the Hallel, and it says this. He said, as I'm reading this, I should have read this part, "I will redeem you," and then he says, "and I will take you for my people." So how many knows Jesus is coming to take us? So this cup speaks of the soon coming rapture, the catching away of the bride to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay, so let me read it again. He says, "I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you out from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments, and I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. And you will know that I'm the Lord your God who brought you out from the burden of the Egyptians." Isn't that awesome? All right. So this first cup tonight, we'll speak a blessing. And this represents how the Lord has set us apart as his people. How many are thankful? I think about all the people that I've known through the years and how many people that don't know Jesus. And why in the world did God choose and find me in my sin? But I'm so thankful to be set apart as his child, okay? So Jesus would have blessed the cup. Bruchat Adonai, l'humaklam, b'rei pregafen. And this first cup you can drink of is the Kiddush, that we are set apart as his people. Amen. Just worship the Lord. All right. So in just a moment, not quite yet, but I'm going to need my wife and daughter to, they're going to go through with the water. Okay, but not quite yet. So if you can try to catch a lot of the things that are being said tonight, I feel like it'll really help you. Jesus said there will be no sign given to this generation except what? The sign of Jonah. That he would be in the belly of the tomb, basically, 3 days and three nights. And so the whole concept of a Good Friday is a myth. So let me tell you what it actually looked like. Jesus would have had the Passover meal on Tuesday evening, and then he would have left. Jesus himself didn't drink of these last two cups, but those that were present drank this, but nobody drank of this last cup. He left the Seder unfinished because he said, I'm coming back for you, and I'll finish it with you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But he goes out after the meal, out to the Mount of Olives, and he begins to teach and talk to them, and he went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was sweating blood, and that's when Judas came. So that would have happened at Tuesday evening, and Jesus would have been captured and brought into captivity, if you will, and there would have been a trial on Tuesday late evening, early Wednesday morning. And listen, early Wednesday morning when the sun came up, Jesus was brought out before the people, and remember, they took Barabbas instead of him, and then he would have been beaten at the whipping post. Long and short of it, Jesus was nailed to the cross on Wednesday morning. It was the day of Passover at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then 3 hours later at noon, the sky grew dark and he was saying, why have you forsaken me? And then 3 hours after that at 3 p.m., Jesus died and gave up the ghost. Okay, he said, it is finished. And then that night, Wednesday night, he was laid in the tomb. And so Jesus died on Passover day. Now, those that know this, every day there was a lamb and there was fruit of the vine poured out. There was actually the grain offering. So there was a picture and type of communion every morning and every evening that took place in the temple. They had to move that 3 o'clock to noon because they also had an additional lamb they had to kill. So when Jesus was being nailed to the cross, they were killing a lamb. At 12 o'clock, they killed the second lamb. But at 3 o'clock, when the priest stood up and they killed the Passover lamb, the priest would have said, it's finished. That's right when Jesus said it was finished. Isn't that awesome? So Jesus died. He was buried in the tomb on Wednesday night, and he would have stayed till Thursday night. That's day one. Thursday night to Friday night. Day two. Friday night to Saturday night, day three. 3 full days, 3 full nights, and he raised from the dead sometime early Sunday morning. And that's, of course, when the guards were terrified and they saw the tomb open up. And then Jesus appeared to Mary and they saw him there like a guard. Remember that? So anyway, all that happened 3 days and three nights. So just keep in mind that Good Friday, unfortunately, is a myth and it's not true. So my wife and daughter, they're going to go through and we're going to speak a blessing, but they're going to pour out water over your hands. And this is called the Netilat Yadayim. It's the washing of the hands, okay? So it's like a baptism of your hands because we're eating a holy meal. It's like having purified hands. And so while they're doing that, I'm going to share something as they come through. So something that would have happened every year at Passover, all those that came, all the men were required to come to Passover. They had to come to Jerusalem and at Pentecost and Tabernacles. So when they came to Jerusalem, there was all these what they called mikveh pools that were there. And they would go there and they would self-immerse. So this is like a self-baptism. And so no doubt everybody that was at the Passover meal with Jesus would have already self-immersed. And then this would have been a part of what was going on. Everybody's hands would be cleansed. And so it's interesting, those that know the scriptures, that Jesus also washed their feet. Because the high priest on the Day of Atonement, before he went into the Holy of Holies, he had to self-immerse as well and be cleansed. And then he had to wash his hands and his feet. And then he could go into the Holy of Holies and have kind of an encounter with God. Well, what was happening was, Jesus, being our great high priest, he was getting them ready that they could have their day of Pentecost, Holy of Holies experience by already self-immersing, but Jesus was cleansing their hands and feet. And he even spoke of that when he was washing their feet. He said, if I've cleansed you, then you're already cleansed. Remember that? And so they went in now later to the Holy of Holies of the day of Pentecost, where they were filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Isn't that awesome? And so Israel went through the same pattern. They went through the waters of baptism to Sinai, where they had an encounter. You coming this way? All right, thank you. Okay, let me put it down here. Thank you. All right, thank you. Got it. Okay. I'll just... Okay, there you go. Thank you, guys. And so whenever the Holy Spirit filled and baptized those on the day of Pentecost, a tongue of fire was over their head. And the Bible says we're now the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing as the tabernacle. So imagine for a moment that the Bible's saying that we're living, breathing tabernacles of the Holy Spirit. Our members are members of righteousness. And that we're now, just like in the tabernacle of Moses, there was a pillar of fire by night. It's like God has put a pillar of his fire over us. Even though we obviously don't see that, I believe in the spirit realm, those of us that are filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, that the angels and demons can see that fire in us and on us. Amen? All right. Did you get everybody? Okay. So the next thing we're going to do, and you guys gave me a big one. We're going to get the parsley. It's called the carpus. And there should be some salt water on the table. Now, before we dip this, because there's a lot of symbolism here, but on the night of Pentecost, you guys remember that Moses told them to kill the lamb and they had to catch the blood in some kind of a basin. And then they would have took hyssop. Now, hyssop is a common weed that would be in the Middle East, and they had to take that like a paintbrush, and they had to dip it in the blood, and they either sprinkled it or they painted it on the doorpost, like the lintel. And you know as well as I do, whenever they did the top like this, it was dripping down. And then they did the sides, and there's no doubt that it formed some kind of sign of a cross over their door. But this obviously speaks of the hyssop, but also the parsley, as we dip this in salt water, reminds us of the tears, and you'll notice this as you dip this in salt water. Dip it real good. Now, there's no cheating with the bitter herbs, okay? Dip it real good, and then we're going to eat of this, and it reminds us of the tears of our sinful past. How many remember what God's brought you out of? Amen. So, Lord, we bless you tonight, and we thank you as we eat of this that we remember our sinful past and the bondages that you brought us out of and the tears that we shed, and how our lives were separated from you. And we thank you, Lord, that you brought us near unto you in Jesus' name. So I'll dip it in there real good. So we have a place set for Elijah, and somebody said, does Elijah need salt water? I said, well, if he shows up, he does, you know. I've always worried about this because we're in a public place here, and I've seen some people come by that look like hippies and, you know, got the big beards. I've always worried about sending the wrong person out there and them, like, tackling some guy and bringing him, Elijah made it, you know. You never know. All right, so a couple things. Also now is the breaking of the bread. So this is called the Yahutz, and this is, all right, so here's another thing that would have happened in Jesus' day, and that is the breaking of the middle bread. So in here, there's three matzot, and these represent Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the middle, it obviously speaks of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you take the middle and bless it and break it. So we bless you, Lord, bruchat Adonai, the humklam hamotzi lachmim hatretz, and break it, and you take the biggest piece, and you're going to put it in this bag. This bag is called the afikomen bag. which interestingly enough is not a Hebrew word, but it means he is coming. How crazy is that? Nobody knows how this tradition even got in the Seder, but the interesting thing to me is that after the meal, the afikoman is found and it's brought out. So Jesus would have used the afikoman and the third cup to administer Holy Communion. Now what we're going to do is, I'm going to give this to my faithful sidekick here, and we're going to hide that. And then it's found later, it's a game. It's found later by the children. Now in this setting, we're just going to have to let Emberly win, okay? We're just going to let her win and give her the prize. she's okay with it. He's mad because, anyway, but we had this game at our house, and we had one winner and two that did not win. But anyway, so there's some sore issues there. All right, so we'll bring it out later. But the interesting thing about the afikoman is think about this for a moment. Jesus, the Bible talks about him being lifted up, but the breaking has to do with his suffering. He's wrapped and buried in a tomb. Later, he's resurrected, but who finds him? The children. Isn't that awesome? So it's a picture and type of salvation. Okay, and so let's go through the Passover story for a moment. It's called the Magid. This is the part where we tell the story. All right, so Exodus chapter 12, I won't read all of it, but I will read some of it. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month will be the beginning of months for you. So those that didn't realize this is the month of Nisan. In these ancient times, the month was named Abib. But this is the first month. So in other words, 2 weeks ago, this was the first of the year. So the year began in the Bible in the spring. Totally different calendar. He says, speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household, a lamb per household. Now, if a household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to the house will take one according to the number of the persons in them. According to what each man would eat, just divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be unblemished, a male, 1 year old, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So as the sun was setting. So they have 4 days to examine this lamb. Just like Jesus was brought in to Jerusalem while they were examining all the lambs that were brought in, Jesus was also being examined. How many remember that? He was being examined to see if they could find anything worthy of him dying. And they never did. Even Pilate said, I have found nothing wrong with this man. Verse 7, moreover, they shall take some of the blood. So they had to catch the blood in a bowl, in a basin, and put it on the doorpost, on the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Okay? Do not eat any of it raw or boiled with water, but rather roasted with fire. And I saw how they do this back in ancient times. They would take that lamb and they split it open and they would put wood through the middle part and a wood through the top and bottom and they would stick it over the fire. It looked just like a cross. It's crazy. You can look it up. I looked it up and saw that. But they had to roast it with fire, eat unleavened bread and bitter herbs. He says, do not eat it. I'm sorry, I'm going back here. And you shall not leave any of it till morning, but whatever is left until morning you'll burn with the fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in hand. Eat it in haste. In other words, you're ready to go. So Jesus, when he said this, do this in remembrance of me till I come, I mean, the mindset of the early church was he could come any day. We need to be ready for his coming. So every week the early church gathered, and it says they broke bread weekly. You eat more than once a week. They were talking about the Lord's Supper. But every time they ate and they took the Lord's Supper together at these love feasts they had, they were looking for the soon coming of Jesus. Okay? He says, I will go through the land of Egypt at night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against the gods of Egypt I will execute my judgments, for I am the Lord. But the blood will be a sign for you in your houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's where we get the word Pesach, passing over. And it says, no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Isn't that awesome? And so the blood of the lamb brings some type of a protection over your life. Have y'all ever really thought about that? I know River of Life has. But the angels and demons in the spirit realm, I believe that there's something about the blood being applied to your life that creates like a hedge of protection about you and your family. Just like Passover. So there was the feast of Passover, which was one day. It was a holy Sabbath. And then there were 7 days of unleavened bread. And the day after the Sabbath, which would be Sunday, the way God did it, I know they do it different in Israel, there would be this first fruits, this resurrection. That's when Jesus raised from the dead. So Jesus died on Passover day, was in the tomb during unleavened bread, and raised on the feast of first fruits. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. And then Moses called for them and told them to go get their lamb and get to work. And he said, for the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians, but where he sees the blood, you'll be protected. So I'm skipping down to verse 33. No, actually 29. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon. All the firstborn of the cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all the servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt because there was not one home where there was not somebody dead. And then he called Pharaoh, called for Moses and Aaron at night and said, rise up and get out of here, all of you. He said, take all that you have, all your flocks, your herds, and everything, just go. And they urged him out. And then it says, the sons of Israel had done according to the word of the Lord, for they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver and gold and clothing, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that as they left, they plundered the Egyptians. So Egypt gave them their silver and gold and all their clothing. So whenever they got out in the wilderness, Israel had everything they needed to be blessed for themselves. But also whenever Moses said, hey, I need contributions because we're supposed to build a tabernacle for the Lord, they brought silver and gold and all these articles there to Moses, and to the point that Moses said, quit bringing stuff. We've got more than enough. And they built the tabernacle with it. So think about that. The wicked, what came from wickedness was consecrated and it became a dwelling place for God. It says, now the sons of Israel journeyed a mixed multitude, verse 38, and they baked the dough which they had brought out of Egypt into cakes of unleavened bread, for it had not become leavened since they were driven out of Egypt and could not delay, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. So the dough actually baked because of the sun on their back as they fled. It was unleavened bread. And so the Lord said, this will be observed throughout all your generations. And I don't want to get too much into this, but when Jesus comes back, there's a scripture in Zechariah that says that the nations will come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And the nations that don't come, they won't experience rain on their land. And so I believe with all my heart, it's implied there that all of these feasts are going to be kept forever. In fact, there's a scripture in Isaiah, I believe, where it says when God himself descends in the New Jerusalem, it says that the nations will come from new moon to new moon, Sabbath to Sabbath, and they're going to bring their offerings to the temple. So this is something that's going to be going on throughout eternity. But let me read two more things, and then we'll move forward with this. But it says in Psalm 105, verse 26, David wrote about this. He said, he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen, and they showed signs among the people, wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark, and Moses and Aaron did not rebel against the Lord, for he turned their waters to blood, caused their fish to die. The land broke forth frogs in abundance, even the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats into their country. He gave them hail for rain, flaming lightning on their land. He struck their vines and their figs and shattered their trees of their country. And he spoke to the locusts and they came, and caterpillars without number. They devoured all the vegetation of the land and ate all the fruit of the ground. And he struck down the firstborn of the land, the first fruits of all their strength. Then he brought them out, Israel, with silver and gold. And there was none of the tribes of Israel that faltered. There was none sickly. Think about that. You know, the Bible says in 3 John 2, I desire that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. when Israel came out, they came out healthy and they came out financially prosperous. And Egypt was glad to see them go. I think that's going to be at the rapture. I think that the world's going to be glad to see God's people leave. Until the two witnesses come breathing fire and you know, the plagues. But in Joshua 5, verse 10, it says that Joshua had to circumcise the sons of Israel because the rebellious parents didn't do it in the wilderness. But whenever they entered the land of Israel, they kept Passover on the 14th day of the month like they're supposed to. After that, it says the manna stopped. But Joshua saw this angel appear to him and said, I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. And it was after that angel that God gave Joshua the walls of Jericho coming down. Think about what I just said. They kept Passover. They kind of went back through the blood covenant, if you will, and got things right with God. And God sent an angel. And then God gave them a great victory as the walls of Jericho came down. And that was the first great victory in the land of Israel, or land of Canaan, soon to become the land of Israel. Okay. So as we go through this, I need to mention the four sons, because this has to do with who's trying to learn and who isn't. Y'all ready? There's the four sons. One was wise, one was wicked, one was simple, and one who does not know how to ask a question, who's quiet. Okay? And so what does the wise son say? The wise son asks questions. It says, what are these testimonies and statutes? What does this mean? And you're to teach him the word. But what does the wicked son say? So here we are doing this. The wicked son says, what is all this drudgery even mean? I'm bored. Let's just hurry and eat. So don't be the wicked son. And then the third son, it says the simple one, he just doesn't understand what's going on. And he just says, well, what's this? You should say to him with a strong hand. In other words, those that don't understand, take the time to explain it to them. And then it says, and then there's the one that's quiet, that doesn't say anything. And the Lord was saying through this, you start with him as the Bible says you should tell your son on that day. In other words, just because he's quiet doesn't mean that he doesn't need to learn. So sit down with them and help them learn. In other words, what this is saying is whether they're loud, whether they're difficult, whether they don't understand, or whether they're quiet, make sure that they learn because it's important. All right, the Manishtana. Why is this night different than any other night? That's the big question about Passover. Why is this night different than any other night? Can you imagine on Passover night, the 14th of Nisan, when Jesus was celebrating the Seder? He'd done this for 33 years, but everybody there, their whole lives had had a Seder. And the question was asked, why is this night different than any other night? Not just that we're having Passover, but that this was the night that Jesus was going to be captured. You know, this was the night that Passover was going to be fulfilled in him. But there's the questions, the Manishtana. So Dean, you're closest, buddy. I want you to read these. There's four questions. Read it loud. All right. He said, why do we only eat unleavened bread at this time? This bread baked on the backs of those fleeing Egypt as they left in haste. It also represents Christ's sinless body. I want you to use, everybody have some matzah. If you got ahead of me and broke it already, you're not going to be able to do this. But hold it up like this. Isn't it interesting that it is pierced and striped and it's without any leaven? This speaks of Christ. He was pierced for our transgressions. By his stripes were healed, and he was without any sin. Did you know that Jesus went to the tomb, his body dead, was buried in the tomb? Did you know that the Bible says that it did not decay? Did y'all know that? Like Lazarus, the tomb was open, and Lazarus would have stunk. There's no doubt about it. Jesus' body did not decay. You know why? There was no sin in him. All right. Then the next question. Okay. Why do we eat bitter herbs? We remember the bitterness of our sinful past. And obviously the slavery of God's people in Egypt. But we remember how difficult it was. Okay. All right? Why do we dip the herbs in salt water? We remember the tears of our sinful past. Now, this fourth one's important. I need to explain. Why are we reclining to the left? We're going to recline later. Why do we recline to the left when we take the third cup? Because those that are servants or slaves or whatever, they're standing up and they're having to go through and serve and do all that. But somebody that's free is able to sit and recline. Now, that's why at the Passover meal, it's believed, and I was taught this from a very credible source, that the youngest would have sat on the right. And when everybody was reclining to the left, John must have been the youngest because his head went this way onto Jesus. And Peter is over here and he goes, psst, hey, who's going to betray him? You know, and so John asked him. But that's why that was going on, because John was right here. So when you read that, remember, that's why John's head was on Jesus like this, because they were all reclining. Excuse me. And then also, as we look at the lamb's shank bone. This was a good one this year. A big one. Anyway, as we remember Jesus as our Passover lamb, listen, when Jesus came, he fulfilled Passover in every possible way. He was the perfect Lamb of God. John the Baptist spoke that over him. He came in. He was examined. They couldn't find any fault in him. And just like actually on Yom Kippur, there was two goats. One was a scapegoat, Jesus and Barabbas. You know, one was let go. The other one had to, the sin of the world came upon Jesus on the cross. But he was our Passover lamb who died in our place. And the sins, our sins were laid upon him. All right, let's go through the 10 plagues. So everybody's going to need a white napkin. And you're going to get your second cup called the Makot. Now remember, God said he was going to judge the false gods of Egypt. And so we're going to go through the 10 plagues, but I want you to see, those that's never done this before, how God judged those gods of Egypt. Because those were the gods that they put their faith in, right? And so each time, we're going to do this 10 times, you're going to dip your finger and let some of the drop go on your napkin. So at the end of this, you should have at least 10 drops of juice on your napkin, okay? So this first time, okay, just dip your finger. Ready? The first one was the water to blood. Everybody say water to blood. All right. There was a god called Hapi, who was the god of death, and the Nile turning to blood was to judge that god of death. The next one is frogs. Everybody say frogs. And there was a demon god in Egypt called Heket, and it was the frog goddess of fertility and life, and the plagues of frogs was against Heket. All right, the next one, just dip your finger, is lice. Everybody say lice. Geb, the god Geb, was the god of the earth. Earthquakes were believed to be the laughter of Geb. And dust in the lice was the judgment of Geb. The next one is flies, okay? Everybody say flies. There you go. And Shu was the god that supposedly held the sky off the earth and was associated with like the dry air, wind, and the atmosphere. And the swarms of insects sent by God was a judgment against Shu. All right, the next one, yeah, that was flies. Yeah, we're right. Okay, the next one is pestilence. Everybody say pestilence. Now, Apis, A-P-I-S, was a bull, and it was proclaimed to be incarnate and symbolized the strength of the king. You can see in this why Israel made a golden calf. Okay, that's all they knew back in Egypt was idolatry. They had to learn how to please God, okay? But this bull represented the strength of the king, and the death of the livestock was God's judgment against it, okay? And then the next one is boils. Everybody say boils. Heka was the god of medicine and magic. So someone like a shaman or a medicine man or witch doctor like was all around Pharaoh, these would have depended on the god Heka. This would have been a god that they would have called upon to bring healing. So when God sent boils on the people and they couldn't heal them, This was a judgment against Hecah. Okay, the next one is Hel. Everybody say Hel. There was a god named Nut, N-U-T, yep. And this was the Egyptian god of the firmament who protected man from the heavens. So God sent hailstones from the heavens to judge Nut. The next one is locust. They say locust. Min, M-I-N, was the demon god of vegetation. So the Lord sent locusts to destroy all the vegetation. And then everybody say darkness. This is the next one. Darkness, Ra, was the sun god. If you haven't heard of any of the other ones, you probably heard of Ra. Okay? So he was the sun god. And so the Lord sent darkness over the land to judge this god. Because can't you imagine Pharaoh, all the magicians and other people thinking the god of the Hebrews must be more powerful than Ra, because this darkness is prevailing over Ra, you see? So it was a witness to them. All right, then the next one was the death of the firstborn, the last one. Death of the firstborn. And this was to judge Amun-Ra, who was seen as the creator of mankind. So the Lord sent death to the firstborn to judge this false god and show who the real creator was. Now, if you hold this up, think about it for a moment. We're going to drink the second cup called the Makot, the cup of deliverance. This would have been at the foot of the cross of Jesus. Blood would have dripped from his body. And what does the Bible say in Galatians 3:13? Cursed is anyone who's hung on a tree. When Jesus hung on the cross, he became a curse for us, delivering us from the curses under the law, so the blessings of Abraham come on us. And so Jesus, as he hung there and blood dripped from his body, he was paying for our deliverance. Okay, so we're going to drink this second cup of Passover. The Lord said, I will deliver you. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight for your great deliverance that we have been delivered, but also if anybody's struggling with something in their life, that you have paid, you have made a way by your blood, Jesus, to deliver us from everything of Satan's kingdom. Lord, we bless you and thank you for the blood. Just worship the Lord. All right, now we get to the part called the Dayenu. Normally this will be sung, but since nobody knows all the Hebrew, we're just going to say it, okay? But the song would just be like, Dayenu, Dayenu, and everybody be singing and clapping. And then it goes through all this in Hebrew, and everybody sing it. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read it. And Dayenu means would have been enough for us, okay? And so whenever I say this, I just want you to say Dayenu after, okay? Had the Lord brought us out of Egypt, which is our sinful past, and not divided the Red Sea, Dayenu. Had he divided the sea but not permitted us to cross on dry ground, Dayenu. Had we crossed on dry ground but he not sustained us in the wilderness, Dayenu. Had he sustained us 40 years but not given us manna, Dayenu. Had he fed us manna but not ordained the Sabbath, Dayenu. Had he ordained the Sabbath but not brought us to Sinai, Dayenu. Had he brought us to Sinai but not given us his word, Dayenu. Had he given us his word but not led us into the promised land, Dayenu. Had he led us into the land of Israel but not built us a temple, Dayenu. Had he built us a temple and not sent us prophets, Dayenu. Had he sent us prophets of truth and not made us a holy people, Dayenu. So how many knows that we learn from that God has been good to us, hasn't he? All right, so this is called, the next part is the Motzi Matzah. This is the time to eat the matzah. All right, so what I need you to do, this is the Maror. You need to break off a piece of matzah, and you're going to put a good, healthy portion of the horseradish on it, and there's no cheating. Get a good portion, all right? And this represents the bitterness of our past, all right, that the Lord has delivered us from. So, Lord, we thank you as we take this, that we remember the bitterness of our past and how you have been faithful, Lord, to bring us out of it. All right, go ahead. There's always somebody tries to be a hero and get a big chunk. They're the ones that are red faced, look like they're going to die. Yep, go. Way to go, Fernando. Oh, Fernando, I've seen Fernando eat some stuff that would melt your face. I don't know why in the world this is bothering him at all. Probably. This is part of the experience, guys, okay? This is the bitter herbs. All right, now, here's what I need you to do. You need to break off two pieces that are about equal size, okay? And you're going to make a sandwich. You're going to put part of it is going to be the maror, the horseradish, on one side, okay? Now, this isn't as bad, Fernando. And then the other side, you're going to put a good portion of charoset, and that'll take a lot of the bitterness out of it. All right, now, why is this significant? As you make this sandwich, I want you to hold it up and look at it. What was going on in Egypt? Israel was having to build what? Bricks and mortar, right? You know what this represents? This represents the strongholds of our past. How many have had some serious strongholds that God needed to deliver you from that you struggled with for years? This represents our strongholds of bitterness. But Jesus came to deliver us. Amen? Just go ahead and eat it. Tiffany, I got the hot stuff that time. I felt it too. What's it? All right. Now, typically, after we do the korech, that's the what we just did, normally we would have a meal. So we would break and then we would come back after the meal and have the last two cups. I'm not going to break. I'm just going to keep going because it's hard to get everybody back focused again. In fact, almost impossible. So we're going to finish the Seder part. But I want you to notice that after the meal, Jesus took the cup. Because Jesus could have done this at the first cup, but he used the third cup, the cup called Gwela, which means redemption. And he took the afikomen bread. So let me go ahead and let Emberly find the afikomen. She just got excited. Do you know where it's at? Go get it. So normally there's a big search, and I'm pretty good at hiding this at my house. There's been times I had to do the you're getting warmer, you know, trying to help these guys. But eventually they find it. There you go. Way to go, Embers. Come on. First time I gave Emberly money, she looked at it and goes, well, what's this? And I said, well, you can take it to a store and you can get some. Now she comes back to me and goes, Papa, can I have some more of that money? All right, so here you go. Give her your credit card, Ed. All right, so the afikomen. This is the bread that Jesus would have taken. Now remember, think about this, because every week when we take communion, I reference this. And the people that do this with us yearly know what I'm talking about. But the bread that represents Jesus' suffering, he was wrapped and buried, hidden. Later, he was resurrected and found by the children. Remember, Jesus said, it's hidden from the wise and learned, but it's revealed to the babes. That's humility. He took that bread, and he would have held it up and blessed it. And Lord, we thank you for the power of what you've done for us on the cross, that you were pierced for our transgressions, you were bruised for our iniquity. The punishment that brought peace with God was laid upon you, Jesus, our Passover lamb, Yeshua in Hebrew, Lord, that you took it upon yourself, and that by your stripes we're healed. And then he took the cup. He said, this is now the blood of the new covenant. And he blessed it. Bruch et Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Borei Gafen. And Lord, we thank you for the power of the blood that you shed. So I want everybody to recline to the left as best you can. And we're going to take communion together, okay? Here you go. And so as we lean to the left tonight, Lord, we thank you for the power of the cross and what you've done for us. As we take communion and we bury this down into our lives, Lord, I thank you. Not only that you've sanctified us, not only, Lord, that you've delivered us, but also that you've redeemed and healed us. And we thank you, Lord, for healing flowing in every life tonight as we take this in Jesus' mighty name. Just worship the Lord as you take it. We're almost done with the Seder part of it, okay? But this is important, and so please give me your best ear. It says, when he had taken the cup, I'm talking about Passover, the communion cup, rather. When he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, Jesus was saying here at this cup, he gave the third cup to the church. You know, Derek Prince said something that stayed with me and it really affected me. In John chapter 6, it says, as you eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, he said that you would have life. And I never really thought about it until he said it. But did you know that not everybody in the world has taken Holy Communion as God's people? You understand what I'm saying? There's only a select group of us that as God's true people, born again, have taken Holy Communion, the real deal. And he said that he believes that somehow that does something to your body to prepare you for the resurrection of the dead, which is going to happen at the rapture. Did you know when the shofar blast and the shout that the dead in Christ will rise and those that are alive and remain be changed in the blink of an eye to be caught up with him in the clouds? That's the first resurrection, the resurrection of the dead. So even though should the Lord tarry and you die and your body go into the ground, there's coming a day when your body is going to be raised from the dead and in the blink of an eye is going to be made glorified and you're going to be reunited with your physical body and ever be with the Lord. But anyway, back to this. He had taken it. He said, for surely I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some of the bread and blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But he said he's not going to drink of this. So Jesus didn't drink the third cup. Who did? The church. This is our communion cup. But Jesus did not finish the Seder. He left this fourth cup, and he basically, the last thing he said was, I'm not going to drink of this until we drink it together. What? In the kingdom. At the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said, that's when I'll do it. So listen, after the third cup, Jesus gave them communion, and they left. Jesus was saying to them, I'm leaving this Seder unfinished, because one of these days, I'm going to come back for you, and we're all going to meet at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then I'm going to take of the cup, and I'm going to finish it with you. And that Seder I started back then, I'm going to finish it, because you know why? Not everybody's here yet. And so I'm going to have a gathering of everybody, and then we're going to finish this thing together. Isn't that awesome? So this fourth cup, as we're going to drink this, This speaks of the soon coming of Jesus to take us away with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we bless you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We drink this tonight in remembrance of you until you come, and we look for your coming. We want to be a bride without spot or blemish. We want to be wise virgins with extra oil. We want to be ready when you come to take us. We worship you, Jesus. Just worship the Lord as you take him. Now we got one more thing. We got to check for Elijah. Now, did you know, this is not just something that's done at the Seder. That guy's coming back again, just so you know. It's probably Moses with him. That's what I think. But there's going to be two witnesses, and you ought to read about these guys. They are no joke. When they come, they're going to be in Jerusalem. And from what the way I see it, and I've studied it, it's going to be the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, which are the worst. And they're going to be speaking out, and these bold judgments are going to be coming. And so the Antichrist is going to hate them, just like Pharaoh hated Moses. And they're going to be sending people to kill him. And everybody that goes to kill these prophets, the prophets are going to breathe out fire on them and fry them. How many want to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, sipping on your cup, and have Jesus turn the channel on the big screen and watch that? I want to see that. I mean, I want to be at the marriage supper, but somehow I want to see that. All right, so I need somebody to go check the door for Elijah. You know what? Let me get somebody that I know will not. The ladies. Do not grab a homeless person, please. But y'all can go out there and look for me. Make sure Elijah's not wandering around out there, because we got a place for him if he is. No Elijah. Okay. I kind of assumed he wasn't coming to Garland tonight, but that's okay. He will be coming to Jerusalem, though. All right, so let's sing Eliyahu Hanavi for those that know it. Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu Hatishbi, Eliyahu, Eliyahu, Eliyahu Agiladi, Bimecha Biamenu. Yavo ileinu, imashiach ben David, imashiach ben David. And that's just a song about Elijah coming. All right, so as we close this thing out, the Nirtza Lashana Haba'a Yerushalim, this is next year in Jerusalem. How many would love, between this Seder and the next one, that Jesus come and take us away? And the next time we're doing this, we're with the Lord. Amen. All right, so this closes out the ceremonial part, and we've got a lot of really good food we're going to be serving up. And so if you want to save, before we do that, if you want to save some of your harosot, make sure and put it on a plate, because they're going to give you new plates to eat from. And we've got some brisket. Okay, please stay in your seat. We're going to serve you, but let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our food and drink. And as we celebrate Passover, may it all be blessed and nourished with our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to start out with we've got some matzo ball soup and some salad, okay? So...